Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Business Women Australia podcast, featuring industry leaders who bring their wealth of expertise from diverse areas to help you build a successful business. Now, onto the show. Welcome to another episode of Business Women Australia podcast. I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cross. Let me ask you a question. When it comes to change, how comfortable are you with the change? Well, according to my guest today, change is uncomfortable. And if you've forgotten what it feels like, go ahead and wear your shoes on the opposite feet. You'll soon be reminded about what change is like. And joining me on today's show is Bev Andrews. Bev, she is an experienced change management specialist who has devoted the past 20 years of her career to delivering business solutions across a broad range of services in a diverse set of industries as well. Bev has extensive experience in organizational management, in managing, developing, and facilitating change in order to achieve organizational improvement and transformation. Now, during her career, Bev has worked with organizations of all different shapes and sizes, and she brings this experience to Aspire Change Management. And she continues to provide the highest level of practical as well as empowering change management support, training and advice to Australian businesses. Now, on today's show, Bev is going to share information and advice for change management professionals. What do we need to know? She's going to talk about ways in dealing with tactical and business change, as well as some of the latest trends and practices in organizational change management. So welcome to the show, Bev.
Thank you, Anne-Marie. Thank you for having me.
One of the interesting statistics that you shared, and I want to share with people today because I think it'll really help us set the stage for today's conversation, is that 70% of change management projects fail. 70%, that's an incredibly high number.
It is, and it's one that gets banded around a lot. Originally, I think the language was 70% of your projects fail because projects were being managed around schedule, budget, forecast, but actually not around what was being delivered and implemented and how it was adopted. And as we've sort of progressed a bit more, we're starting to realise, well, actually, you can deliver a product, but if no one's using it, then how can you say that it's successful? And so that's where the 70% of changes fail, is the adoption. Yeah.
It's interesting that you should say that too, because something else that you said and I want to share with people, I think it would be, it's great context, is that the number one reason why change initiatives stick is leadership engagement, and the number one reason why they fail, the lack of leadership engagement. So when you think about what you've just shared, in that when we change the areas that we look to measure, is this successful? Has this project been successful? There could be, and I know we're going to dive deeper into that this today in our conversation, there could be some great initiatives that are rolled out, but are they sticking? Are our teams and our organizations continuing to roll out those changes? And obviously, it seems through the feedback that it is not. So let's have some conversations around how we may be able to change that and to have that stick ability and all of that, because if the last 2 years have shown us and have thrust us into change, I don't know what other events can happen. So I think organizations around the world has constantly been in a state of flux and change, isn't it? And whether we've gone kicking and screaming through that change or done so, because some people love change, let's talk about what are some of the things that we need to be mindful of when it comes to change management.
Okay. Well, the first thing, I guess, that we've learned from the last couple of years is, yes, we can actually pivot very quickly as individuals, as organisations, as a human race, and we can do that in numerous ways. But certainly, the community over here in Perth, WA, became very much around keeping the state safe. Mm. So you can see that the last 2 years we can do that, but that was very much crisis management. And now what we're starting to see is as we move into what we're calling this new normal, what does life look like post-COVID, some of those changes are sticking. And so some of the learnings that we've had over the last couple of years are very much around, well, hang on a second, it was okay before to do Monday to Friday, 9 to 5 and be on that treadmill of life, whereas now, hang on, life's pretty short. And if I can be as productive, if I can be a little bit more flexible, if I can actually feel I'm a little bit more in control of what I'm doing, then why can't I do my work well, but in a hybrid or a slightly different environment? And so that's one of the first challenges I think that as communities and organisations we're facing. Certainly my observation has been that we're tackling that very much around, well, let's just offer flexible working, not understanding enough around, well, what does this change mean in the organisation and across the organisation? So what does the organisation's operating model look like when you start having this flexibility of people being present and not present, and certainly outside of core operational hours? And then, of course, you go into the whole leadership of that. You know, how do we move our leaders from they might enjoy that hybrid working personally, but then how do they actually lead and manage in this environment where they're not eyeballing people out? So they're two of the first, I think, significant changes that organisations are facing into at the moment.
And so let's look at that. Let's dive a little bit deeper into some of the things that have been implemented that have facilitated then the adoption of more of that hybrid. But then also from a leadership point of view, what are things that you're seeing working really effectively that will allow them to have a team to be able to work either from home or from the office or a blend of both and still have a team that are top performing, that still feel very much engaged and part of that community, even though they may be outside of the community of the office, so to speak? What's working well?
You know, I don't want to use the same old words that you sort of see sprouting up everywhere, but collaboration and that engagement with your individuals and team becomes super important. But it has to be looked at with the lens of the right balance for the individuals and for the team to actually deliver its work, and for the organisation to ensure that the organisation is still running super effectively, and being really sort of transparent and honest about what that looks like. So, yes, it's nice to be able to you know work from home, but as we know, we're social beings and we can engage remotely. You know, you and I, we're engaging remotely, but how deep do we build a relationship if that's the only way that we're going to be communicating? And if you think when you're in the office, it's the side things that actually form that that glue, if you like. You know, it's the little things of being able to stop when you're making a cup of coffee and actually have that sort of sidebar conversation. It's that unexpected joke that occurs when something happens in the organisation, you know, and it's those little times of sharing that come up because you're in the moment. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the bigger challenges that we sort of face is how do we actually ensure we maintain that connectivity and we get the right balance for individuals as well as for the team and the organisation. And the only way that can be done is it's just that constant collaboration, that conversation. And it probably means all of us adapting about bringing a little bit more of ourselves into the workplace.
Yes. Yeah. And using tools, I think, that many of us and many organisations are now using or have been using as a day-to-day way to connect and so forth. And I think when we look at and it sounds to me as if now organisations need to, when we're thinking about that collaboration, and everyone's going to be unique in your business, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's really understanding from an individual point of view, where do they feel best able to contribute and still be part of that? So what may fit for one person or a number of your team may not necessarily fit for others as well. So are you finding that as leaders of a business, we need to be more connected individually to our team to have those conversations? What works for you? Being very clear on some of the parameters and the outcomes that they need to deliver? Because some people find and have found that through working at home, they're far more productive because there are not so many of those water cooler conversations where you could get, you know, bump into a few team members. So I think what are you finding is working really well when it comes to finding where that happy balance is across the chain?
I'm actually finding it is that balance of people feeling that they have that sense of control, but they have that goal and purpose for work as well. Feeling that they are trusted enough to be able to, you know, if I'm working from home, I'm actually working. Or yes, that I don't have to deliver between 9 till 5 during the day. You know, if you're up early and your children are still in bed asleep, but you're up early, why can't you get on and do a couple of hours? Or in the evenings, you know, when the kids get home from school and you can spend some time or you can do some study and then dial in. So I think for people it's around expanding what that looks like, but it's putting those parameters around it. You know, because the offside of that is that our social lives and our family life then starts to bleed into work life and vice versa, and work's now bleeding into our family life. Mm-hmm. So it is very much around laying out expectations. You know, what does the organisation expect? I mean, one of my teams that I was leading recently, some of the guidelines I gave them was that 2 days a week, I really wanted them to be present in the office. And 1 day a week being present in the office on the same floor so that as a team we were coming together. And another day of the week being present just in the office, sitting with their other teams that they work with, because with change you're sort of often matrixing across the organisation. So sitting on different floors so that they're visible there. And then be flexible with the other 3 days. Now, we had to sort of work a little bit at that to make that work for us, because, you know, we were selecting days that also included some of our really great meetings. So, you know, we were doing knowledge share and things like that once a week. And so it made sense. So, well, why don't we come together and do that knowledge share, because then we can build some of those team bonds as well. You know, yes, and we can do it off the back of maybe going out and, you know, whoever wants to, let's just go and sit and have lunch together so that we can actually be people, not, you know, not just workers. So it is really around sort of what does it look like for the organisation? What does it look like for individuals? And then just coming up with a bit of, well, how do we make this work? Mm-hmm. And I think the hardest thing for our leaders now is having to have those very honest conversations.
Yes.
Crucial conversations, and they might not be ready for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, particularly.
So, yeah, I was just going to say, so when you're saying that not ready for it, are you finding the difficult conversations coming from the team leaders, how to broach that with their team or vice versa?
It's a bit, I think individuals are more comfortable sort of saying, I want to be flexible.
Yes.
And I want to work from home. I think they feel a little bit more empowered and in control of being able to say that. Yeah. I think it's harder for the leader to sort of go, well, hang on a second, how do I balance this from my perspective as a leader? Mm-hmm. And then what guidelines am I then operating in within organisational expectations? And I've come across in some of the organisations where we put in these flexible policies, yes, and they are very sort of beige. They don't really give any guidelines or any directives, and you end up with these sort of unspoken ground rules of what's expected. You know, so if your leaders are in the office 5 days a week and they're there 8 a.m. at 5 p.m, they're actually displaying the behaviour of, well, that's what I really expect. You know, and conversely, if they are actually role modeling the behavior of like, well, this is a really important meeting, but we're going to do it through Teams, then that sends a very loud message as well. But I think it's a bit of the support that goes around those leaders as to, you know, what can I say is okay and what's not? And then how do I manage the fact, well, we could trial this and see how it works, but what happens if it actually works for you but doesn't work for the team? What do we do then? So how do we then balance that? So, you know, something that you sort of think on the surface is fairly straightforward starts to evolve all sorts of other complications and unintended consequences, which is a facet of change management. Yeah.
And what I'm hearing you saying, you know, to get to that balance, is it that ongoing communication, isn't it? And having that open communication that says that when we come together and we can share our ideas and what's happening, that if we do need to tweak it, if we do need to change it, that is okay too. And you're finding that when there is no open communication and there are no parameters that are put into place, then it can get very leaky and very cumbersome. And because sometimes, you know, there's things, it's like the elephant in the room, that saying that we know things are not working well, but we have to address them quickly, don't we, rather than hoping they're going to sort themselves out.
Most definitely. As soon as there appears to be, and this is where things like your intuition start to come in. You know, you start to sort of get a sense, oh, this doesn't feel right. And then broaching that conversation around, well, why do you feel that things are not right, and having that conversation with people. You know, my philosophy has always been that people go into the workplace wanting to do the best they can do and have the best day that they can possibly do. They don't get out of bed in the mornings and go, who can I antagonize today? You know, there might be the odd person that you can probably come to mind and think, oh, I'm sure they do that. But, you know, most people just they want to have a healthy, happy, comfortable life, you know, and work is a necessary part of that. So they go into work with that intent of, you know, I'm going to try and do the best that I can. So when things aren't going so well, usually as an individual, you know yourself, that intuition's coming in, but broach it while it's a small thing, you know, because as soon as things are allowed to sit and just boil away, then it starts to bubble and manifest with other people. And, you know, most of us do the right thing, but sometimes not everybody does.
Yes.
You know, and so it's just sort of like, you know, calling that behavior out, and that's where those values become important. We actually talk about what does that look like in action. And it's the having that vision for what this team looks like, not just doing the day-to-day, you know, tactically what we need to deliver this week, but the purpose of this team. How does this team's work? What does your individual contribution look like against the strategic direction of the organization and the goals? And by anchoring people onto that, you can see the outcomes, you can see the engagement, the collaboration. But yes, the flip side is if you think things are going pear-shaped and you can't put your finger on it, but something's telling you, then, you know, start having some of those little side conversations and start digging away. But it's a very difficult time for leaders right now. You know, usually in change.
Probably beforehand there were complexities, wasn't there, and people had to navigate through. But now life has kind of dumped a whole lot of other areas that people need to deal with
most
as well.
Definitely. And for leaders, you know traditionally when strategic goals are being formulated at that senior table, they come together and they've got a, you know, they swap their ideas, they take accountabilities, they work out what their performance indicators are, and, you know, that whether it's cascaded down or whether it's shared and collaborated, it doesn't really matter. At the end of the day, the leaders are on the front foot with that because they've spent that time digesting what that might mean and what those changes might mean. And so as these different changes sort of start to ripple out, they're actually already through that curve of, you know, of acceptance of where we're going. So even if it's unpalatable decisions that have to be made, that that, you know, have some consequences, they've actually reconciled themselves to it. But as the change is then moving through the organisation, the impacted colleagues are starting to deal with it then. And the leaders have actually almost moved on to the next problem. So you start to get a little bit of a disconnect. Well, of course, with the last 2 years, we all faced it at the same time. And that's so, right. You know, our poor leaders have been coping with their own individual circumstances and then trying to adjust to this new world and trying to sort of work through, you know, I think it's a really hard time for executives and CEOs around, well, what, when you're setting the strategy, well, what does it look like for the next few years? You know, we talk about a new normal, what does that look like? And so from a change and a change management perspective, it's never been more critical to actually have those skills under your belt, whether they be hard skills or soft skills. Yeah.
And also something that, you know, when you were talking about ways of dealing with tactical and business change, one of the things that you've said is that we always need to start with the end in mind. And there's something else that you've said too constantly. And I think this, as leaders, if we keep this in mind, it can support our teams. And that is when people feel a level of control. And so then I'm assuming that it's when people feel that they don't have any sense of control that, and that may be different for everybody, isn't it? What does a sense of control look like for you? You know, that you like to be told in advance, as much as in advance of certain changes, so that you can then change some of the timetables versus some people are quite happy. Oh, okay, I'm happy to change that. So, and I guess as leaders, it's finding the balance, what works for my team individually and collaboratively together. But what are some of the things as team leaders that we can have and be mindful of so that we can best support our team through change? What would that look like? Giving our team some kind of parameters or structure that they still do feel like there is some aspect of control on their part.
So there's a couple of models of change that work really well. So there's a very simple model that, you know, like a lot of the traditional change models are now actually from the previous century, not just decade. And one of them is the transition model from Bridges, and it talks very much around how things are ending and we go into this transition phase or this neutral phase, and then we go into our new beginnings phase. And human beings, we react in fairly we call it the change curve. I don't want to get technical or anything, but there are particular emotions and reactions that we have as individuals as we are faced with uncertainty. And that's what change is. It's just taking us from something that we are very comfortable doing to something that is not quite so known. And so we actually have reactions to that and responses, and we feel, you know, and these are feelings of maybe shock and denial. They can be feelings of anger. They can be feelings of excitement. You know, some people actually really like living and working in a chaotic world. Most of us are creatures of habit, and this is where that comfort, getting pushed out of my comfort zone, makes me anxious. And so when you look at a simple model like that, as it's around equipping the team leader to have those conversations with the team and sort of go like, well, okay, we've, you know we're now facing into this new project, right? Or this new change is coming in and it's at the end of the financial year and we're going to be busy, all right? So what are some of the things that we can do now? Right. So it always ceases to amaze me that we get to the beginning of June and leaders go like, oh, my goodness, it's performance review time and I've got, you know, 12 people that I've got to prepare for, 12 one-on-one conversations and then 12 follow-up activities. It's like, well, you know, look down the road, look down and see what you can actually always be doing ahead of time. You know,
yes.
Get your people, give them a part to play in what's going on, you know. It's not that we don't like change. We don't like being changed, and I think that's one of the expressions that you hear quite a bit. So don't surprise people. Surprises are birthday cake and champagne. That's what I tell people. That's what a surprise is. A surprise is not finding out on a Friday that something, you know, really dramatic is happening to you on a Monday. You know, that's not the sort of surprise people like. So keeping people abreast with information as you've got it. And even if you don't have any information, telling people that nothing, you have nothing new, but giving the opportunity for them to share and to talk things through, but getting them to actually want to take on tasks and feel like they've got a place to play here.
Yes.
Really helps them, you know. And I think, and I hear this all the time, you know, that authentic leadership. But as a leader, it is actually fine to be vulnerable. Now, as long as you're not going to pieces every minute of every day in the office, that's obviously something is completely not right. But it's okay to be vulnerable, and it's okay to say, look, I don't have the answers here, but why don't we find them together?
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Or I'm in the same position as the team. I don't know what is going to happen, but let's find out. Let's ask the questions that we don't know, and let's go and find some answers. Mm. You know, and I think I think that's where the crisis stuff from COVID has really shown us that, you know, we don't have to have all the answers. We've just got to, you know, face into what we've got right now and have a look at, well, what do we know? What don't we know? What's the right thing to do right now? Mm-hmm. And how do we engage more people into doing that?
Yeah. As you're sharing that, Bev, I'm reminded of a story that I heard many, many years ago, and it was of a leader who wanted to, her, I can't remember whether it was a her or a him, but we'll just say her. Her whole goal was to protect the team as much as possible from a lot of the things that were going on in the workplace. So she would often have conversations behind closed doors and not share things till they were all sorted out. And it was interesting because throughout the organization, they did a 360-degree personal brand feedback, and she was horrified to learn that the perception of that leadership style was that she was unapproachable, that she was not part of the team. So in effect, what she ended up doing was becoming that which was what she wanted to protect her team from. So what you have said, that as leaders, to be able to have that open communication, show the level of vulnerability. And when we talk about that, as you said, it's not that you're dropping it, you know, into pieces and so forth, but rather being honest and saying, well, we're not really sure. And also contributing or inviting ownership, if you will, and contribution to the conversation, because we never know. There may be team members that once we start brainstorming, that whole bubble of brainstorming, innovating, you know, ideas that come forth from one initial conversation can really be quite surprising, isn't it? And that's the kind of thing that I think when we get to have that inspired contribution, collaboration, that the team has contributed to that and have been able to valuably contribute, I think, in and of itself is something that adds real strength to the team too, isn't it? And they're not surprised, you know.
That's right, yes. And you know, I use that term with my team around, I will back them 100%. You know, anybody in my team, I'll back them 100%. But just keep me abreast of something, because I can't back you and support you if you're walking into something and you're not aware of it, right? Because you don't have the backstory. But if you've got that, the heads up, and I've had a few of those where you know, like, oh, before you go to that meeting, just a heads up of what's happening, because at least then you're not caught. You're not caught out as well. You know, so but yeah, it's a very challenging time. And it's the sort of skill set right now that is really testing us. You know, it's I think the last couple of years, I think people are still tired. It's quite mentally tiring. You know, it feels like we're just sort of carrying this thing around. So it's a bit tiring. We have to learn to be nicer to ourselves and give ourselves that little space.
Important, isn't it? I notice that even in myself, the energy levels, having more breaks through the day. And what I've also heard too, you know, when you're looking at team leaders, is to recognize that or creating environments in where people can openly share, because bottling things up and not speaking about it, and sometimes it can make all of the difference, isn't it? I know as women, what we often do is we'll have chats with girlfriends, colleagues, and it's just like a release, isn't it? Not that we're looking for answers or anything, but just having someone that we can share something with lessens the load.
Definitely.
And that's important, isn't it, to have an environment where people feel welcome to have those conversations.
Yeah, So it's around building that support network, you know. So easier done if you're already part of a team that's been going through this change, a little bit harder if you're a new person coming into that team, you know. But build that support network within your team, with people outside of that team, perhaps within the same organisation, or your own contacts that you've got. So, you know, it's that whole problem shared is a problem halved. And just being able to, as you say, just being able to talk it through with someone is quite often just a relief, because you then can put it into perspective around, well, actually, on that dimension of how important and how much energy should I spend on this, I probably don't need to spend as much. So building that support network, you know, even having some mentors, you know, there's a lot of the foundations of leadership, the foundations of change that we sort of forget about in our haste to look at the nice new shiny ways that we can do working. And we do forget that there are some of these fundamentals, if we just go back and look at them, you know, the fundamentals of treating people with respect, the fundamentals of actually you know, consolidating your knowledge, consolidating some of your skills. When I do the group mentoring, I do a group mentoring session every month, and whoever wants to come comes, and we talk about what is relevant for them. But the first thing I ask people is, you know, what are some of the achievements that people have had in the last week or the last few weeks? And it takes a little bit for time for people to sort of go like, oh, well, actually, what have I achieved? Because it's very easy as humans to come out and go, well, let me share the problems I've got, you know, my problem's bigger than your problem. But let's think about, well, some of these small achievements, because sometimes just getting yourself into work or you know, up on the footy field is the biggest achievement of all. So, you know, being kind, recognize some of these small successes that we're having, because that gives us that energy to continue, because we are moving forward, and taking a little bit of time out for ourselves. But, yeah, have a look at some of the skills you've got. You'll be really surprised at how much resilience you have. You'd be very surprised if you go back and have a look at some of the different work that you've done and the skills that you've got out of that, that you sometimes forget, because you're so focused on going forward that you forget to go back and have a look and go, oh, yeah, I've done that. That's a skill I've got sitting there. I've just, you know, left it behind for a little while, but I can bring that out. You know, I can plan things, you know. Just because my world's a bit chaotic at the moment, I can give myself some anchors during the day or during the week, you know, like there's little things that you can bring forward. Yeah.
I love those reminders. It's so important. And as you said, it's often the very simplest of things, the showing of gratitude. And isn't it interesting? It is. I was smiling as you were sharing, you know, what are you thankful for? What are you grateful for? Mm. What are some of those successes? It's almost like a snowball effect, isn't it? All of a sudden, because I do that regularly with clients, and they're, oh, not really much. And then someone says, oh, yes. And then I did this and this. And then for long, because I write them down, I said, you've just listed a half a dozen things that you know that you wouldn't, originally you weren't even aware that you had done. It's such a reminder, I think, isn't it?
Yes,
because it is. We highlight all of the things that are going wrong, and we negate the fact of, well, what are all of the things that went right? And,
and so important. You know, it's a different context at the moment, but certainly on a yearly basis with my teams, you know, we would generally do it around the end of the year, where you do that reflective, you know, so how far have we come in our journey, you know, what have we done in the last 12 months? Because, you know, you're building on it so slowly that after 12 months, you actually forget that, oh, you know, 12 months ago, the team was only this amount of size, or, you know, we were only conducting a certain number of things or delivering a certain number of things. But look at what we've actually delivered. Look at the brand of our team now. Look at how more respected we are. Look at how, you know, people actually want to come and talk to us, because they think that we're the, you know, we've got value that we can add. And if you just make that time to do that, and a year might be too long, you know, do it quarterly, you know, as part of those conversations. Let's just have a moment, because we're very good at looking at stuff and going, how can we improve? How can we improve? And we forget that we've got lots of strengths that we can go, well, actually, how can I build on that strength? How do we make that strength now leverage us into something else?
Yeah. And something that I'm often reminded of as well, and this goes back to the conversation we were having around the feeling of control, whilst circumstances, and I'm sure that there's a saying and I'm paraphrasing, that whilst we cannot control the things that are going on around us, what we do have control of is how we will let that affect us, isn't it?
Yes.
And that starts in the inside, doesn't it? It really is your mind, and it's doing all of this, some of the beautiful things that you've reminded us of, that even though things may be changing externally and you know, the workplace and so forth, how we approach that and allow that to impact us is very much in our control, always, isn't it? And no one can take that away from us. I know, Bev, we've only just scratched the conversation. We could spend many hours talking about this, and it's so relevant to today, but I know that this is an area of expertise that you and your team have. You've got so many resources that you can continue to share with others. If they want to connect with you, find out more about how they may be able to work with you and read all of the resources that you have on your website and so forth, what's the best way for them to connect with you, Bev?
So through Aspire Change Management. So that's Bev at Aspire Change Management, all one word. Didn't think about that when I was actually typing that in. So aspirechangemanagement.com.au, and I'm on LinkedIn. Just reach out. You know, one thing I would say, Anne-Marie, is we've talked a lot about that soft leadership elements. I am very strong for people to get that foundational skill. So actually some of the theories of change, just to understand not just how I might react as an individual so I can build my own resilience and endurance, and how I can lead my team. Sometimes just understanding that when you do something to A, this is what happens to B. And what's, you know, when we talk about leadership with the organization, you know, what type of organization are we working in? So what's actually going to be palatable for that organization and the leadership group? Because, you know, you do have to find, as you work with your individuals, you need to be working at the same level with your leaders as well. So are you ahead of them? Are you behind them? Are we all sort of, you know, singing off the same song sheet? Because it's very hard. You know, like your genders, we have different leadership styles. So when we start talking about getting to know people and being authentic and showing emotion, that doesn't sit comfortably with groups of our leadership dynamics. So, you know, come and learn. Come and get some. We don't do as much formal learning as we used to. Come and do some learning. Come and mentor. Get yourself, you know, your support network, and definitely more than happy for anyone to reach out for a conversation through Aspire or through LinkedIn.
Fantastic. Thanks once again for coming on the show. I know that I have learned so much from listening to you share your insights, and I'm sure everyone else has as well. But connect with Bev, aspirechangemanagement.com.au for further information as well. Thanks so much, Bev.
Thank you, Anne-Marie. It's lovely to be here.
You've been listening to Business Women Australia podcast. Want to become part of a dynamic collective of women who are passionate about business success and personal growth? Go to businesswomenaustralia.com.au/membership to apply. That's businesswomenaustralia.com.au/membership.